came across Vart on this week's parsha, which was unbelievably connected to the story that we find ourselves in right now. You know, in this week's parsha, there's a very funny pasuk where Kadosh Baruch Hu says, "Hamechasani me Avraham," which means that Kadosh Baruch Hu is almost like having a conversation out loud with us, saying, "How could I not tell Avraham Avinu that I'm going to destroy Sodom?" Which means like there was like a conversation. Hashem had a back and forth in his mind. And he came out, "No, I'm going to tell Avraham Avinu about what's going on." So all the Mefarshim struggle with what exactly does this mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a dilemma. We have dilemmas. We're human beings. We don't know right or wrong. We don't know what's proper or improper. Hashem knows exactly what's correct and incorrect. What's this HaMechasani Me Avraham? So Nissen Alpert says an unbelievable idea. And he wrote this obviously many, many years ago. He's been not with us for many years already, but it's so relevant to the time we find ourselves right now. He writes the following. He says, Hashem had a dilemma. Avraham Avinu was the Ish Chesed. Ish Chesed. Avraham Avinu was the Baal Chesed of the world. He says, in order to be a Baal Chesed, you have to see the good in everyone. If you look at people and you say evil, then all of a sudden you're going to lock them out of your house. I can't do Chesed with evil people, right? There's a certain understanding. So the dilemma that HaKadosh Baruch Hu faced was the following. Should I expose Avraham Avinu to the idea that there is evil in the world? Or should I let him think there is no such thing as evil in the world? And I'll explain to Daim, this is what he writes. And I'll explain to them, not because they're intrinsically evil, but they're like a Ben Sayre or Mayre. They're on that path. Right now, they're not evil. No. There's no real evil in the world right now, but they might get there soon. So we're going to wipe out the city now because you know what? Let them go now before they're really bad. But right now, there's no evil in the world. Says Reb Nissen Alpert, the dilemma that HaKadosh Baruch Hu struggled with was, should I let Avraham Avinu as a leader of the world know there is such a thing called evil? Or let him believe there's no such thing called evil? Well, because, well, because then he could do chesed with everyone. If you believe there's such a thing called evil, so when you come across evil, you can't deal with them. So it says from this and that, but Hashem made a decision. Hashem said, no, Avraham Avinu, you have to know the real world. You have to know that there's a stoim and these people are evil and they need to be destroyed. Now, this is amazing because the world we're living in today is mamish. The world around us, I'd like to say, I can't say for sure, I'd like to say a lot of these people that I don't believe what's going on, it's not because they're all anti-Semitic. Obviously, right of it is. But they just can't comprehend in their mind that in the year 2023, someone would take a baby and put it in an oven and bake. That's the pshat. It's not pshat because they're anti-Semitic. About that, there's an element to it. Same thing, how can anyone deny the Holocaust? How can you deny the Holocaust? The answer is because you say to yourself, there's no way there's anyone that evil in the world that would shoot babies. Unfortunately, the reality is it's not true. There is evil in the world, and there are bad people in the world, and we need to eradicate evil. The problem that the world is struggling with, we as Jews know this firsthand, is we know there's evil in the world. We've seen it, we know it, and we have to eradicate it. The rest of the world is convincing themselves, no, they couldn't have done it. It's not true. It's fake. It's propaganda. It can't be. Why not? Because they don't want to convince themselves that there's such a thing called evil in the world. They don't want to deal with this realization. Unless it's the Jews. The Jews can always be evil. The other side, no one can be evil. I think that's the only way. I think that's the only way these people can have any legitimate, not legitimacy. That's the only way they can live with themselves. Is besides the fact that obviously they're anti-Semitic. How can anyone deny the Holocaust? Where do all those 6 million people go? Where they disappear to? The answer is they convince themselves that no one is that evil. No one person, group, country, nation would go around murdering innocent people. That's their, but this is clearly their realization. These are why they turn a blind eye to what's going on, and they can't be convinced that there's evil. Unfortunately, we know as Jews, and who's always been the recipient of the evil, we know good and well that there's evil in the world. Unfortunately, we've seen it. So I think this is mamish. This week's parasha is what the world needs to learn. The oilam needs to. They need to take a lesson from Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu also struggled with this. Is there real evil? Is it not? And Hashem said, no. There's evil. You have to be aware of it. Know it. Be aware of it and deal with it. So the world has to wake up to this. Unfortunately, they're not. At least most of the world. And now, unfortunately, even our own country is backpedaling a little bit on what they think we should do. But Lamaisa, I think this is the realization for us. We have to realize that Kadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu there is evil in the world. You have to deal with it. You have to be aware of it. And you have to destroy it. Trash and destroy Sodom. That's the only way to deal with evil. But if you're not going to be convinced that there's such a thing called evil, and you're going to live in a bubble where everything is perfect, then unfortunately, it's not going to be a very, very simple way of living life. Okay. So I was thinking about this. So someone tied this to me. What about the people in Mitzrayim? So again, that's a different level of evil. Meaning, let's say Mitzrayim was a pshat that they had taiva, so they took his wife. So again, giving up for your religion doesn't make you evil. Makes you just, you know, strong about your religion. But just to be mean to other people for no good reason, that's a new level of evil. That's what you're going to have to say.
It's true that Abraham would not have stopped at 10. He would have kept on going.
So there's another pshat. We can talk about this a different time. Maybe the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh happens to learn that I wouldn't say Abraham was naive, but he didn't know what was going on in Sodom. He didn't know the details. The truth is, Avraham Avinu davened for his time even after he was told that he can't save the city. It's itself is a different smooth for a different time. Okay. Okay, everybody say. Baruch Hashem, the only, you know, the two things in this world right now that we have to take a break from all the that's going on in Eretz Yisrael is learning Torah and Simchas. So Baruch Hashem, we have those here. Every once in a while, it's good to have a Simcha. Takes our mind off. I'd like to wish a mazel to Mr. and Mrs. Stephen Wagner and the Chasana. This past week was a great chance to take a break from all the negative things we see and all the horror and worry and take a break to be able to be Sameh Chasav Kal, Baruch Hashem, a beautiful Simcha. We should be zeich to see much nachas from all his children and his grandchildren. And Baruch Hashem, another mazel tov to Dr. and Mrs. Chaim Ehrlich on the birth of a grandson this past week. See much nachas from this new Einikol and from all the Einikol, from all the children. So Baruch Hashem, we can take a break a little bit. Because again, if we didn't have Torah and we didn't have Simcha, I really think we'd go crazy all day just looking and seeing, and we'd go nuts. Baruch Hashem, we have a chance we get to learn Torah. That's a little bit of a break. We have Simchas to go to, so Baruch Hashem, we can stay somewhat sane during a very difficult time. Okay, we're holding over here in the middle of a sugya, actually the beginning of the sugya. We finished the sugya of umnes. We finished trade and college and all that. The Daf Yomi just finished it now. I got to speak about it in my shul now. Because it was relevant to the Daf Yomi, I got a little got a little attention. But now we're ready. Now they're in Baba Kama. It's old news already. Now they're up to Toldos and Ovis, and college is now no longer discussion. But we're holding over here in the middle of a new sugya, which is going to take us into another sugya, actually. But the first sugya we have to talk about is women's roles in mitzvah of Kibbutz Avein. So let's start again on source number two. We have a Gemara. The Gemara is trying to understand the Mishnah. The first Mishnah that we started out with many, many months ago, the second half of the Mishnah, the Mishnah made a comment that kol mitzvah ha'aval ben, any mitzvah that's on the father to his son, echad anoshim v'echad anoshim chayov. So the Gemara doesn't know what this Mishnah means. How do you translate the Mishnah? So the Gemara starts off number two. Says the Gemara, my kol mitzvah ha'ben alav, what does it mean, all the mitzvahs of the father unto his son? Ilay kol mitzvahs mechayev alav ma'av lebrei. If it means all the mitzvahs that a father has to do to his son, correct the Gemara, anoshim chayevis. Is that true that all parental mitzvahs, the women are chayv? Atani, we learned in a brisa. Av chayv b'bnoi l'moil of doiso. Your father's chayv to give his son a bris. Mila and a pidya ben. Other than imoi loy, father, yes, mother, no. So we pointed out last week a kasha from the sheet. Let me source three. Why do you have to ask me a kasha from a brisa? You could have asked me from the Mishnah. The Mishnah clearly says that the mother doesn't have parental obligations. So we spoke about that last week. Says the Gemara, Omer v'yuda achikama. Kol mitzvah sa'ava mutelas ala ben la'sois lo'aviv. So Gemara says no. You know what the second half of the Mishnah means? Not mitzvahs that parents do to the children, but the reverse. Mitzvahs that the children do for their parents. Kol mitzvahs ha'ava mutelas ala ben la'asois la'aviv. On that we say, echad anoshim ve'echad anoshim chayav. No, the Mishnah says, kol mitzvahs ha'ava ala ben. So we translate, we spoke about this way back in the first year, how you catch this into the words of the Mishnayis, that kol mitzvahs ha'ava ala ben means all mitzvahs that sons have to their father. It doesn't read simply, right? Which is probably why the Havamim of the Gemara was not that chat in the Gemara. But the Gemara concludes it means all mitzvahs that children have to do to their parents. So just take a look in Rashi number 4 for 1 second. It says, Rashi, what is that? It's going to be an important Rashi. Hamutelas ala ben zak Rashi going kibud umoyre. Both. The two mitzvahs that we know of, what are the only mitzvahs that children do for their parents? So we have a mitzvah of kibud aveim and a mitzvah of yiras avivim. So we'll discuss at length how these two mitzvahs work together. Are they? They're obviously two separate mitzvahs, but in our sugya, it's going to be even more complex. But Rashi learns that the two mitzvahs that the Gemara is referring to when it says that the son does for his father, it's referring to kibud the year. Says the Gemara, "Hanina l'ha the Tana Rabbana." There's a proof because we learned in a brisa ish. It says in the pasuk in Parashas Kedoshim, "Ish imayv aviv tira'u." So I like to say over from the Ksav Sefer. So obviously the Gemara says a different shot, but the Ksav Sefer says, "What's the word ish?" So he says a chiddush. He says that many people think they only have to honor their parents as long as the children are not anyone big, right? My father is a successful businessman. I'm just starting out. So of course I have to honor my father. But what happens when I make it big? I'm an ish. I'm a gavra. I'm very successful. I'm independent. I don't get supported by my parents anymore. Maybe I'm even supporting them, whatever it is. Says the Torah, ish, you're still an ish. You're a big kamaker, CEO of the company, president of the shul. You know what? Nothing personal. No, I wasn't talking about Chacham Shalom. You're very good with your parents, Baruch Hashem. Ish, even though you're a big kamaker, you're a big dude. You're the man. You also have to honor your parents. No matter how big you made it, no matter how successful you are, and you maybe are better off than your parents, still, a beautiful shot from the Ksav Sefer. But it's not what the Gemara says. What does the Gemara say? Ish. Ish. I only know a man has to honor his parents. Again, this pasuk, very important. This pasuk is not by Kibbutz Avim. By Kibbutz Avim, it doesn't say those words. By Kibbutz Avim, it says, Kabed esavich v'esimech. Straight up. Honor your father and your mother. That doesn't matter what gender you are. As long as you are a child, you have to honor your parents. The only time we find this discrepancy between men and women is by yira. This is a very important in our sugya. Says the Gemara, ish, Ain the Ela Ish. The Gemara makes the obvious deal. Why does the Torah say the word Ish? Only a man has to honor his parents. What happened to a woman? Says the Gemara, Ish, Ain the Ela Ish. Fear, I'm sorry, thank you. I'm going to get that wrong a couple of times today. Ish, Ain the Ela Ish. I only know that a man has to fear his parents. Isha Minayin. How do I know even a woman has to fear her parents? Kishuay Matiro, because it says the end of the pasuk, a man, his father and his mother, they will fear. Who's the they? Who's the plural? Obviously, it's both boy and girl. So, Frank the Gemara says the Gemara, so now it's two people. Same came out, Ish. So, why did the Torah say the word Ish? Says the Gemara, Ish, Sipik, Bialdelas. Because a man has more availability to honor his, to fear his parents. Isha ain't Sipik, Bialdelas. A lady does not have as much availability. Why? Because she has another Rishus, she has another entity over her. Whatever that means, we'll come back to. Then the Gemara just concludes, what happens if this girl gets divorced? Shneim shavin. So now she and her brother are back to being equal obligations in the mitzvah of honoring their parents.
What about before she ever got married?
Right. So we pointed out last week that the reason why the Gemara never talks about a penuya is because most likely there wasn't much time for a girl to be a penuya before she got married. He married off a girl while she was a katana, or when she was just starting off as a naira, so she never really had time to do the mitzvah before she got married. That is true. Today, we also have like a 10-year gap between a girl's bas mitzvah and when she becomes. So today, it would be relevant also, but we'll see why the Gemara picked this scarcha. There's a reason why the Gemara picked the case of divorce. We'll come back as opposed to a single girl. Oh, maybe an almana, but for sure as opposed to a single girl. We'll come back to it. So this whole... Well, what? No, katana's not obligated anything. They only have a chinuch. Children are not obligated anything. All they have is chinuch. They have a mitzvah chinuch. That's all they have. So chinuch is a shayla, whose mitzvah it is, the parents' mitzvah, child's mitzvah. But biblical mitzvahs don't start until a boy gets 13 or a girl gets to 12. So there's a lot to discuss here in this Gemara that we need to break down. So let's start with Rashi, number 4. Says Rashi, what does it mean? The mechayiv abba l'mavid l'brei. So the havamina was that it was the mitzvahs that the father does to the son. Kigayim, for example, the moilul of taisoi, like mila and pidyon aben. That reads very nice into the Mishnah. Call mitzvah sha'av mitzvah ala maisa aben. All mitzvahs that the father is mitzvah to do for his son. The Gemara rejects it. The Gemara says no. Amutelas ala ben kigayim kibud umayr. So according to Rashi, our Gemara is talking about kibud and yir. Sipek. Zok Rashi, what does it mean that a man has more accessibility and availability? Yecholim she'ein moichim biyodeh. There's no one that stops him. No one stops a man from what he wants to do. As opposed to a woman, it seems like someone can stop her. Yeah.
It's interesting that Rashi doesn't give an example. They have to teach a kid Torah.
So Stamazi, I have an R on this Rashi. I wasn't going to go into it. What was Rashi trying to tell us more than from the Gemara? Rashi's letting us know what are the mitzvahs that a father does for his son. Like Rashi, the moil of Daisa. Why is he giving us examples at all? We've been learning about this for the last 2 blocks. And the Gemara gave us examples. Moiloi of Daisa. So it seems like Rashi was just reflecting the examples of the Gemara. I'm not sure what Rashi was adding to us. More than you see from the simple reading of the Gemara. I'm not sure what Rashi wanted. It's not clear to me. And then why did he stop there? He could have given us the whole list of things that we've been learning. Could be. He just wants to reflect what we saw in the Bryce and nothing more that we knew of. So, correct. Maybe that's a shot. So Rashi's not clear what he means over his sipik. Rashi says, Yecholes she'ein moichim yodeh. No one's going to stop the husband. No one's going to stop the husband. What does that mean? No one's going to stop the husband. So we saw last week, on Mahalach from Steinemann, number 5, Steinemann suggested that there's a din learned from this Gemara that a husband has the right to tell his wife not to boss her around, but she has the right to tell her what to do. Meaning, if she's about to leave the house to go take her parents to the doctor, he could say, no, I want you to stay home. I want you to be here. He could be moicha. He could protest and stop her from doing certain activities. So Steinemann says, but this is not kibbutz. He points out very interesting. He says, it's not kibbutz. This we'll have to come back to when we get to the Gemara Daf Lamed Aleph. He says this is not kibbutz. He says he calls it lashon shibbutz. We pointed out at the end of last week's share. It's more of lahavdil, again, take this very loosely, like a worker, right? A worker has to work for his boss and do whatever his boss says. He doesn't have to stand up for his boss. He's no chitin lechabed his boss, but his boss, he has to do what his boss says. That's exactly right. So therefore, the boss has a certain amount of rights to control the worker. So Steinman says that's the pshat with the husband and wife. It's not bossing around. It's not because you have to respect me. Even though we'll see today, we'll see a famous Rambam about it. But the way of Steinman Kanira learns Rashi, Rashi's moicha is not coming from the fact that you have to mechabed me. It's not that you have to mechabed me. You don't have to mechabed your boss. You have to listen to your boss. You don't have to show. You don't have to stand up when your boss walks into the room. Says if Steinman, you don't have to stand up when your husband walks into the room. But it comes from a point where you have a certain amount of authority over the wife. We'll come back to this. Right. Because that's what but that's why the Torah was mechadish in the word ish. The Torah is saying, no, women are exempt from this mitzvah because of this other power. That's the chiddush. And that's what Steinman is arguing. He said, you see from here that this idea that a husband the wife listens to the husband can't just be midrabban. It has to be biblical. Because if not, it wouldn't beat out her mitzvah of kibbutz.
You're saying that's zero and not kibbutz.
Oh, that's what we're going to get to. That's today's kasha. We'll have to get to Bli Nedar from the Mizrahi. We'll have to deal with that.
In your case, isn't the woman trying to be active?
Yes. That is $1 million question on a sugya. We'll see from the Marsha, you're going to quote a Mizrahi. We have it on the next page in Mitzvah Shem. We'll see. That's the big kasha. Every example that I've been giving till now has always been covered. Yira, the Gemara tells us, what's Yira? Don't sit in your father's seat. Don't contradict his words. Why is that a problem for a married woman? She doesn't live anywhere near her father's seat. What's the problem?
Right. Well, her time.
Oh, good. So we're going to see how to deal with that, but then we'll get there. But before we get to that, let's deal with another Nakuda. What is the maskana of this Gemara? Very important, Shiloh. There's seemingly two ways to learn this Gemara, and we'll see it's probably a machloikis rishayim like everything else in the world. What are the two ways to learn this Gemara? So what do we have on it? We have a pasuk ish that excludes a married woman. We have a pasuk tiro that includes both men and women. How do we make these two things work? So there's two ways you can learn the Gemara. One way you can learn the Gemara is that every married woman is tak exempt from the mitzvah of Yiras Aviv. That's ish v'lo yisha. She's exempt. Even if it's not a contradiction. Even if the husband's not telling her, you can't go listen to your father. Even if it's not in conflict, the Torah exempts her from the word ish. So what's the word tira'u? Tira'u is coming to include single girls, non-married girls. That's one way to learn the Gemara. The other way to learn the Gemara, which is not as extreme, is that both married women and single girls all have to honor their father. That's tira'u. So what's ish? Ish is when a married woman's husband makes trouble. When it comes in conflict to listening to her father versus listening to her husband, that's when she's exempt. But there's no such carte blanche, all married women are exempt. These are the two ways to learn the Gemara. Now, the problem of learning the Gemara one of these two ways is one of the lines in the Gemara. Why? The Gemara says, Niskarsha, when she gets divorced, she's just like her husband. The obvious kasha is, what's the chiddush? Why would I think otherwise?
She's just like a brother.
She's just like a brother. She's just like a man. Why is that a chiddush? Meaning, if till now she was always obligated, she was just exempt because she couldn't, because she had a p'tur. So when the p'tur goes away, the chiv returns. Why is it even a chiddush? So we'll see. The netziv over here decides, helps us navigate through this Gemara. Why would she not return to? She's still a daughter, right? You're right. It's a good point. She's no longer obligated relationship wise to her father like a single girl. But we assume that a boy is also not under his father's control, and he still has to fear him, even though the son is getting no mum in his ghost from the boy to the father after he reaches his bar mitzvah and he's on his own, and yet he still has a mitzvah of fearing him.
We both have it. Fear. Mary, she doesn't have a mitzvah of honor.
No, no, the pasuk is by fearing. Pasuk is by fearing. Ish, the aviv tiro. Oh, very good. So that bothered me also. So we'll see in the Rambam. The Rambam says also, or widowed. What bothers me even more is just time historically. If I had to guess, I would assume Bizman HaGemar, the rate of divorce versus the rate of death is much lower. They didn't get divorced as often, and more people died just because back then more people died regularly. So if I had to guess which one of those two things happened more frequently, I would have said death. So why the Gemara picks divorce, I'm not sure. Well, seeing the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, they say death or divorce. So they work it out. Let's take a look at the Netziv over here in the Merei Misada. Says the Netziv.
Yeah, but death, if everybody was dying earlier, then your parents probably wasn't alive.
Uh-huh. Hey, yeah. Interesting. It's a nice chat. That's a good chat, meaning that if the husband died, that means he was older, and a good chance that the parents were also already dead. I hear. That's a nice chat. That's a good chat. Okay, I like that. That's a nice chat. I like it. That works. Just it didn't work out years-wise, it would be that way. Interesting. Very good. Okay. Givaldo. So let's see the Netziv over here. The Netziv says like this. He explains the Gemara. Pirish. Number six. The Salka Daitich. What was the having in the Gemara? The Kivan Chain Sipik Piyodoi. Since a girl cannot have the flexibility to honor her father when she wants, Ptura Lagamri. The Torah exempted her. Afilu Beisha Sipik Piyodoi. Even when she could. The husband loves his father-in-law. Right? He tells his wife, do whatever you need for your parents. I love them. They're wonderful people. You can do whatever you want. I'm not stopping you on any level. So you'd say, in that case, you should be chayv. Says the Netziv, no. The have a meaning of the Gemara is that even in this case, the Torah exempted her.
So she never even had it as a penuya, according to him?
So she might have had it as a penuya. We don't know if there was ever a time where she was a penuya. Again, back then, they got married so young, it might have never existed such a time that there ever was a chayv. Kidi Isa, Bedaf Lamed, Hey, Amen Aleph. The Kivan ain't see big biyodi like this chayv klal. The Havamina Zokta Netziv would have been that a lady who's married is completely exempt even when she could do it. even when there's no pushback from the husband. Because, so therefore what? Kamash Malon says the Torah, no. Even a married girl has a mitzvah as long as there's no conflict from the husband. The Kamar Oy, the Gemara says, Imkei Matayim Olam Ish. So why does the Torah say Ish? Ish Sipik Biyo, the Pirish. The Sakadak, the Afilu Mashi Neged Ratzim Baila, he Muzeris Bishvalav. I would have thought, without the word Ish, that she'd have to go against her husband to honor her father. Kamash Malon Ish, a Ish, in Ish Aloy. I have a Hod, Ixiv Tiro, Dafka Bimashi Neged Ratzim Baila. Hachi Hi Mash Mois Habrais. Says that it's this is the way you have to learn the Gemara. The Havami, the Gemara was that women should be completely exempt from the mitzvah. Terry says, no, they're not completely exempt from the mitzvah. They're only exempt when it comes to the conflict with their husband.
But isn't there halacha that the father, the husband has to honor the father-in-law?
I'll get to that. I believe that's the bomb. That's another bomb kash on this. So this kash is asked by the Chai Odom and by the Pischei Tshuva. Well, Blinedo, next week we'll have to deal with this sugya. It's the last Mayer Mokum on the sheet. It means the chance of getting it to a very slim. But it's a good kash. The Chai Odom leaves off Tzarchian. And we're going to see it's such a bomb kash on the Chai Odom. The Chai Odom is a pella that he asks his kashi. But that's one of the major kashas, is that if you assume a son-in-law has to honor his father-in-law, which is what it says in Shulchan Aruch, so if the son-in-law has to honor his father-in-law and the wife has to honor her father, so this whole sugya is not a gay. What are you talking about? They both have to honor the father-in-law, and that's the end of the story. So why does the father have any way of beating out the wishes of the father? So we're going to have to see what is the nature of the chiv of honoring one's father-in-law. What type of chiv is that? So the chayodim, that's the pel on the chayodim. Chayodim has a line over here. He says there are poiskim that hold chiyuv kibbut chomav is deraisa, which is a pella. I have not found any such poiskim in my research, but we'll talk about it. Now, the next week, that's going to be a whole share. So if you want to bring your in-laws, bring your son-in-laws, the next week's share, we're going to drum on how important it is to honor. Honor. Not fair. It's Moshe's father-in-law, maybe. Maybe Moshe's father-in-law, maybe not. We'll get to Blinedo. That's going to be next week. I think we dealt this once in a halacha share. But we'll deal with it more lumdish and mitzvah next week, because it's really going to change the whole face of a sugya. So if you want to convince your son-in-laws to honor you, come next week. We'll make an extra table. Don't worry. We'll bring them to heaven. Come. Okay.
They won't listen.
This whole limit is only by fear.
Oh, that's the problem. We're going to get to that also. We're going to work it out. We'll see, Blinedo, that there's a very important mizrachi that we have to see.
I mean, all her obligations.
Correct.
Stem from
that's
she
good.
As much as from that, probably more.
That's right. Most of the shilohs of daughters taking care of their fathers and mothers are going to be keeping that year.
Right.
So we'll see a Mizrahi has an unbelievable chiddush we'll have to get to.
We did in the halacha share, no, it's the same halacha. Let's say if they would apply for a man, but you'd have the same tour for a woman, in other words, to honor her father-in-law, meaning the father's father, except that he has the chiyuv, you said.
Well, I lost you. 1 second. One more time.
Okay. In other words, there's a chiyuv between the man honoring his father-in-law versus the husband versus the wife.
Why?
Why? Because the wife has the same problem, except that I think you said that the wife, that the reason she would have a chiyuv to honor the father-in-law is because she's actually honoring your husband, because he has the chiyuv.
But she's not honoring. She's honoring her father. She's not honoring her father. We're talking about she has to honor her father.
No, but we're talking about you.
Kasha,
you asked a question about father-in-law.
No, the question was, is that if I have to honor my father-in-law and my wife has to honor her father, so we both have to honor the same person.
Does it work in reverse with his father?
That would be a different question. What do you mean, his father?
His father. You know, it's his father.
He has to honor his father. She has to honor her father.
He's honoring his father because she's honoring the husband.
Okay, that could be true. That might be why you have a chiv to honor your in-laws in the first place.
But only for a woman.
Who says the man has no chiv to mechabit his wife?
Because the wife doesn't have.
That's not so.
Because the wife may not have one, she's married.
Let's wait. We'll get to next week. We'll deal with this next week. So according to Nitziv, what comes out? We gotta get to this sheet from last week's stuff. So according to Nitziv, what comes out? The Havamina of the Gemara was is that married women are potter even when there's no conflict from their husband. Kamash Malon, what? They're only potter when there's conflict. So now what's the problem with this pshat? It's a very nice pshat. I think 9 out of 10 of us would have learned the Gemara. What's the obvious kasha? And what's the chiddush of this kashish name Shavu? If we're learning the Gemara now that men and women are start off being equal, it's just that women have this outside issue of their husband, and whenever they're not in conflict with their husband, they talk have to fear their father. So what's the havamina of this kasha? Of course, it's partial. So says the Nitziv, number 6, be left side. But the problem is the boy, the son also leaves his father's rishus at some point, right? So I'm saying, but you're assuming that's what creates the chiyuv yira being in his rishos? Maybe. We have to see. No. That's what I do most of the time also. So let's see the Nitziv. Dr. Nitziv, it's Tzarech Loimer, number 6b. He says an interesting chiddush. Dr. Nitziv, it's Tzarech Loimer. The psychedactic, the dvorm she isha chayeves ki shitachas bailo who should ischayv. The Netziv learns the Havamina was like this. When the Torah treated married women, the Torah said to married women, whatever you have when you become married, that level of obligation is going to stick with you forever. Whatever you had then, that's going to be your new mitzvah of year. Meaning anything you could have done for your father while you were married, that you'll stick with for the rest of your life. And anything that you could have never done from the get-go, from the time you got married, you were never able to do for your father, that will stay with you even after your husband's out of the picture. Interesting, Havamina. Meaning like the Torah set the standard from the beginning. When the girl got married, that's like the first time she had the mitzvah of year, because that's when she became an adult, let's say. So that, for her father. So the Torah said, well, what can you do? Well, I'm married. Married women are limited to what they can do. So the Torah said, you know what? Whatever you can do as a married woman, that's going to be your obligation for the rest of your life, no matter what happens to your father.
Why are they limited? They're only limited if the husband limits them. So it's a case-by-case basis.
Right. No so then it Sid discusses that in this piece. Well, let's see. So he writes, meaning those things that the Isha couldn't do when she was married, as if the Torah said, you know what? That part of Yiras Aviv you'll never have. That's the Havamina. The Svari he delay Tibra Torah ba Klal b'chiv ma'ilim. The Torah never talked about them. Even the Alpi Roiv ain't sveik be other, because most of the time she can't do them. Ukiyotz mizeh Yisrael alon daf lamed. Hey, he's medamet to a Gemara later on. The Gemara says Svari hu dolas lo zaken. But Zalaim the meila afilu memikri yesh lo zaken ain't about zerzu. Read the Gemara. One of the exceptions to the lavin. Normally women are chayv in all lavin except for let's say shaving a beard. A lady can shave her beard. Why? So the Gemara says because most women don't have beards. Let's say a lady grows a beard. She grows a beard. What happens then? And she has to get the kosher shaver also like the men. So the assumption is no, because the Torah said, since most women fall into the non-facial hair category, that's it. This mitzvah doesn't apply to them. So the Tziv wants to say the same thing also. Since most women, there's certain things they can't do once they get married for the father. That is now the new chiyuv for women. That's it. Whether or not their reality changes. That's the habit. It might be. So the Tziv, I didn't photocopy because it was a little, he asks himself, now give me some examples. So he tries to come up with different examples. I don't even remember what they are now. You got to look up again the piece. What would be one of those mitzvahs that married women can't do and married women couldn't do? Whatever married women can't do, those mitzvahs, those obligations will never, ever be on a woman and never return. That's the way he learns the Gemara. Like that, would you have? Exactly. Very good. The Chari, you have to be medamah to what we saw in Mitzvah Shana Gemara. There'll be situations where you might be able to navigate around. The Torah made a kaplan shetter, women are exempt. So it says in the Tziv here also. Those things that she was originally potter from when she was married, it never returns. Kamash Malon says the Gemara, no. Then this Gashish name shovel. No, not like that. Interesting. Says it, you know why it comes back? Because at the end of the day, the Torah says Tira'u. The Torah says both of you have to do it. Now, I would have learned Tira'u was referring to girls that are not married. And we're never married, or at this point, Sakhtin said no. Tiro is married women also. So what's ish? Ish means those situations where a woman can't do tiro'u because she is in conflict from her husband. So according
why to the, you say tiro'u is on aviva ima, like you should fear them.
The tiro'u is referring to who's doing the fearing.
Why?
That's the way you read the pasuk. Ish a man of imter, they should fear. That's just the way it reads. They should fear. Who's the they should fear? Meaning.
Or fear them.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah. No, I think the way the grammar, I wish I knew better, but the Tira'u, the Gemara says, is going on the ones giving the fear. So what do you see from the Netziv? What?
Tira'u.
Right, right. The right.
No, it would be
Tira'u. What's the lashon? Ishi Tira'u. Tira'u. They should fear. Tira'u is they should fear. That's the way it translates. Tira'u. Right, it would be a different word. Right.
Tira'u.
So Tira'u. According to the Netziv, this is important. According to the Netziv, the Maskanas HaGemara is that a married woman who is not in conflict with her husband has to honor her parents. That's what comes out according to the Netziv. But I think the Ritva disagrees. Why do I think the Ritva disagrees? Look at the Ritva number 7. It's a short little Ritva, but I think it's jam-packed with information. Says the Ritva, Niskashish name Shavim. The Ritva is bothered with the Kasha. What's the Chiddush of Niskashish name Shavim? Says the Ritva, Pirish. The Loi Tema don't say, Kivan the Niftira, Niftira. Says the Rabbah, what would the Havamina the Gemara mean? Once she's potter, she's potter. One second. Once she's potter. She's not potter. She's not really potter. Potter sounds like you're completely exempt. She's not potter. She's dhuya. She can't. She has an excuse not to do it. The Ritzvah sounds like the Havamina the Gemara was that once married women were entered into a world of ptur, they never come back to that world of ptur. Kiman de niftera niftera.
How's that argue?
Because according to the Netziv, they were never puttered. They were obligated in a bunch, And some they were potter. Nifter means they were potter in Legamri from all of the mitzvahs of Yira. Now you could kvetch in the Ritva, keeping the Nifter. Nifter means from those things that are in conflict with the father. You could learn like that. The husband, I'm sorry, right? You could have learned Kiven the Nifter and Nifter, since they were exempt from those mitzvahs that conflict with the husband. They retained that Torah, like the Nitziv says. Could have learned the Ritva like that. But I think the Ritva sounds to me much more Nifter and Nifter means they were exempt.
Yes.
Correct. Yes. That's what
we'll see. What are these other mitzvahs you're talking about?
No, once the Torah exempted a married woman from Yira, so she's exempt completely. Even though now she is no longer.
How are these two different?
No, because Niftura means, Niftura is a much more vague statement. According to the Tziv, it's only Niftura from those things that are conflict with the husband. Ritva doesn't say that. He just says, keeping the Niftura. It sounds like Niftura completely. Once she got married, she then is completely exempt from the mitzvah of Yir. Kamash Malan's up there. No, the Hadra L'chiyuva. It comes back to be a Chiyuva. It comes back. It was never removed in the first place. It was there. It was just, you know, it was like saying Lahavdil, a guy who's an Atzala member, and he has to Mechal Shabbos every single Shabbos. And then he gets off Atzala, he still continues to be Mechal Shabbos. It makes no sense, right? That'd be ridiculous, right? The Teretz is, but over here, the Pshah is not, that's the whole Shail Hutra and Dechuya. Here it's not Dechuya, it's Hutra. It's Dechuya, not Hutra, right? So the Havamina was that a married woman was completely taken out of the parasha of Yiras Ovid. Just like she's out of the parasha of Mitzvah Seishas Nagrama. Right? So I would have thought she stays with that. Right, do we find anywhere that a divorced woman has to keep Mitzvah Seishas Nagrama's? Why not? Take a good cash.
No, well, I don't, why? She might sell kids.
Okay, but according to the Abu Jam, it wasn't about kids. It was about the husband. It wasn't so much about the kids. We pointed, Ramayi should talk. Most difficult kid, for sure. The Abu Jam writes, it's because she's Meshubah to her husband. We don't find anywhere that divorced women go back. So it's like, look. So why can't you say the same thing by Yira? So I'm saying everyone thinks when they learn the Gemara that when, why can't that be the same thing by Yira? Married women at times will come in conflict with their husbands for honoring their parents. So Hashem said, you know what? I'm taking a step back. Hashem is saying, I'm going to have to excuse women from this mitzvah. So once they're excused, will get me. Kamash will, and they come back.
Sounds like they're more focused on Tchelis between the Briskas and everybody else. It left us, so right. They say it doesn't come back.
That's
it's
a question.
Gone, it's gone. Right. No, right. Never.
But the question is, but this, I never thought about this a lot. Why is it so? Why is everyone okay with the fact that women that are divorced or widowed don't have to do Zman Gromos? And no one asks the Kasha. But now you have looked to the Terrence is, that's the way.
Yes, that we're learning about it. Why are young girls who aren't.
Right, so we pointed out that the Torah has to make rules for groups of people. So I guess you can argue that this is a smaller group. This is only a married woman.
Situation. I don't
know. Right, so that's the Shat. So what's the Chiddush? Why is this Kashish name Shavim? So I think this Ritva sounds like to me that he argues on the Nitziv. And he learned the Gemara the simplest way. Now, if I can, I think if you learn like the Ritva, the Gemara reads the best. It's Taka Chiddush. Kiven the Niftira Niftira, since there was a time where this woman was 100% excused from this mitzvah, maybe it doesn't return. That you don't find, like we find by Zman Gromo. Kamash Mulan, it does return. Then you have a Kashis. Why is it different than Zman Gromo? I don't know. You have to come up with a shot.
By Zman Gromo, you were always excused even before you got married. The 12-year-old girl does not have.
Yeah, the question was why. She was only.
Whatever the reason is, it applied to all females.
I agree with you. Right, I agree. They mean the group of people are a smaller group. Zman Gromo is all women, and this was just married women. I agree with you. I agree, that is the difference. The question just is, well, if we're saying that we go back to the reasons.
That's why it wasn't thinking that. If you want the Havamina, it wouldn't be different.
Right, that's the Chiddush. So according to the Ritva, I think this Gemara has much more of a back and forth to it.
Not going back to the reasons, because women before they're married are part there of the Mangrama.
Correct.
Not because the reason applies to them, but
because they're part of.
But girls at that age could technically be married also. Right?
Could be,
but they're not having mitzvahs at all. Again, we can't talk about the under bar mitzvah age. They'd never be obligated and anything. Anyway,
so 15-year-old girl is not married.
Right.
She also.
So the answer was because she could be married, and back then she was married probably. Yeah, obviously today our whole world changed. We don't get married at that age. No, because her husband is going to ask her to do things that's going to compromise. It was because of the husband. Yeah, for sure. Now, Abu Draham set it up. Yeah, because she could be. She could be married. You could say whatever you want. I'm just saying what Abu Draham says. I'm open to everything. But Abu Draham says is because she has to be available for us. Now, if you take a look in the...
Yes. Somebody says in this even of they don't have a field.
That's what I wanted to talk about. That's a good point. If you hold Like I think the Ritva holds that when a girl is married, she has no mitzvah of Yira, and let's just put, keep it in the same group. So it'd be very funny. You have this married girl who makes herself crazy to run and help her parents because she's convinced she's going to get a Rechaz Yama for this. Unfortunately, she's only a mitzvah, she's an mitzvah of Oisa. We'll see this, Taka. I think this, it's, I'm not saying we're here to do mitzvahs for reward, but I'm just saying if that is true, and I think there are places that can hold that way, halacha l'maisa, that once a girl is married, she's exempt from the mitzvah. Now she could do it of Yira and maybe covered also. Maybe even both. Wow. We'll get to the Mizrahi. We'll get to it. Maybe, right? If there'd be a bracha on it, you'd have a problem, right? That'd be a nafkamina. If there'd be possible to have a bracha on Kibra Aveim, why there is no bracha on Kibra Aveim, we'll have to maybe one day talk about. Comes up in our sugya, maybe. The Tshuva Sarajba, but I think everyone misunderstands the Tshuva Sarajba, but okay. That's one of the Tzuretzim. The other answer they say is because maybe the person won't agree, won't want it. That's not what I don't think that's what the Tshuva Sarajba means. Like by Tzedakah, right? There's no end. There's a lot of, we'll have to get to it at some point. But yeah, it would come out if you hold like this, what I call the Ritva, which I think is the Rambam and the Mechaber also, that she really is not obligated when she gets married. Once she gets married, that mitzvah falls off. Now, Avada, she can do it. She's like an Eidah Mitzvah Voisa. But I don't know if she gets all the perks of it. I don't know when you're doing Eidah Mitzvah Voisa mitzvah, do you still get all the perks of the
Tetra? Why should it be any different than doing mitzvah to say Eidah's mind?
And Acham, it would be the same.
They don't get scarred for
it? I said, I don't know if they get the same perks. As when the Torah promises you a certain gift, if you're not obligated, you still get that. So by, you keep it over the Torah.
Right.
I don't know if you'll get that. I don't know. You got to talk to God about that. I don't know. But I'm just speculating. Now, she's what? Maybe she'll get even more sky. So let's take a look at the Sefer HaChinuch. Says the Sefer HaChinuch. This Sefer HaChinuch is Mitzvah Lamed Gimel. Mitzvah Lamed Gimel is a Mitzvah of Kibbut. Says the Sefer HaChinuch. Now you heges. B'chol mokoyim u'b'chol zman b'scharim u'v'nekevus. Kozman she'ef shalem. What does that mean? Avada women are in this mitzvah until there becomes a conflict. Kloimar b'chol eish le'yimnu oisem aleim. As long as their husbands don't stop them. So what do you see from the Sefer HaChinuch? Clearly not like the Ritva. He's saying that avada women are 100% b'choyiv. It's just that they have this knesh that if their husband asks otherwise, they have to listen to their husband. But avada with no husband getting in the way, if the husband's a nice guy and he doesn't make any fights, they're just... Oh, yeah, but we're talking about at least Kozman, he's alive. As long as he's not Moicha, says the Chinuch, you are just as obligated as him. Correct.
Does that apply to a husband, or once he dies, whatever...
Mechabed who, his wife?
No, whatever his commands were.
To who?
Listen, the husband says to the wife, this is the deal. I don't want you to ever be Mechabed your parents. Ridiculous, right?
Right, we're going to talk about that. We're going to get to that. We'll see such a case. We'll see what happens. Now, take a look at the Mechaber. Because the Ritva is saying... Right, no, because...
They go back.
Right, because the Havamina was that since when a girl is married, she's parted completely from fearing her father, completely, even those things that her husband's not conflicting with. That was the Havamina.
The Chinuch is saying if things change.
The Chinuch is not like the Ritva. The Chinuch is saying...
Does he say, well, it says once it changes.
No, the Chinuch is saying that women start off with a Chiyuv as long as there's no conflict with their husband. The Ritva learned that once a girl gets married, even if there's no conflict with the husband, she's still puffed. That's the machloekis is what the Ritva and the Chinuch. Now take a look.
Not only a month.
Yeah. We're going to come back to that. Now take a look at the Mechaber number 9. This Mechaber is exact same wording as the Rambam. Says the Mechaber, both men and women are equal when it comes to covered and yira. He covered umayir shalav ve'im ella. But a lady can't do it so much. But she has the shibudim to her husband.
This includes covet.
So the Mechaber pulled a quick one on us. He starts off with men and women are equal in covet and moira. And they say, by the way, married women, they're exempt from covet. What happened to yira? So what do you see from this Rambam? The Rambam held
Covid never
had the Ptur Ish. The whole Ish Vila Yisha was only by Yira, not by Covid. So by Covid, married women are exactly the same as married women. Sorry, by Covid, women are Potter. By Yira, they're exactly like men. Now look at this line of the Mechaber. The Ficha Chiptura Mikibar Ave Ein Bo'idin Asua. Stop for a second. That's very vague. Shouldn't have the Shulchan Aruch said, Hiptura, when the Baal gets in the way? Why did the Mechaber tell us that she's only Pata when the husband becomes a problem? Yeah. It sounds like from the Mechaber, which is the same words of the Rambam, that she's Pata, that's it. The husband can be the greatest husband. He loves his in-laws. He tells her, do whatever you need to do. Go up, year or whatever you want. It sounds like she's still part. Once she gets married, she becomes part. Says the Shulchan Aruch, but in this case. So that she's doing it as covered. She's doing it for her husband.
That's not keeping up.
That's right. Vin this. Yeah.
That's going to make more sense off Sabira at the end of the day because Lamaisa, what is Yira? Don't sit in his seat. Don't
yes. Dvar. Good. We're going to get to that question. We're going to see that. Let's just finish up. Lefichach says, but in this kasha, and this almana, so at least here he acknowledges death. Then chayev. So I think that this mechaber, this Rambam, is the same as the Ritva. Not like the Sefer Chinuch. So what the Nitziv learned the Gemara as a given, I think is a machalikish Rishonim. I think there is a mahalach in the Rishonim that holds that once a woman gets married, that's it. The Torah exempted from this entire mitzvah because it could be a conflict to her husband, even though maybe 9 out of 10 times it's not a conflict, or sometimes the husband doesn't even care, but no, the Torah exempted them.
I only learned that because
of peace. By Yira.
But not by
Kibbutz. So right now, let's assume it's only by Yira. Whenever it comes to Yira. Which means, I know, we're going to come back to that.
No,
I know, that's what we're going to come back to the Shulchan Aruch.
How do you understand this is Evie under the Lazo?
Right.
Is that just a blanket statement?
Yes. Exactly. That's right. That's right. I agree. That I think is that's Machloikis Rishonim. That's the two ways of learning the Gemara. And then you have to deal. So what's Tiro'u including? Either Tiro'u is including a woman who's not married, or Tiro'u is including a woman who's married whose husband's not getting in the way. Now take a look at the Shach. Says the Shach on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, Venire, the im ain't by lomakbid, chayeves, b'chol ma, b'chol dover, she'efshir kemayo ish. Says the Shach, not so fast. The Shach is saying, what are we talking about? The Mechaber, again, the Shach sounds like he understood the Mechaber, that the Mechaber meant, no, once you get married, you are exempt. Says the Shach, why? Meaning the Shach is arguing, like from the Sefer HaChinuch's argument. Why would you be putter if it's not in conflict? The Gemara says, "Sipik biyadilas." Sipik biyadilas means someone stopping you. But if no one's stopping you, why should it be any different? So I think the Shach is pointing out that he's arguing on the Mechaber and the Rambam, and he's saying no. That the only time a woman is exempt from this mitzvah is if the husband is being mocked. If the husband sits on the side and says, "Do whatever you have to do. Go to your parents. Go do." Then avada her chiyuv still stays in place. So this machloikis, we'll call it Mechaber and Shach, is really machloikis Rishonim. Now take a look at a tshuva from Rav Moshe, just to show you how Rav Moshe learned the Shach. We learned the Shach like we made it sound like it's very simple, the Shach, right? The Shach is saying that as long as the husband's not in conflict, then avada the ladies has a regular chiyuv. Rav Moshe over here has a great shiloh. I think it's very negayah to many people. Rav Moshe has the following shiloh. The shiloh that someone asked me. Be'isha she'aveilah b'seichi b'etz chodesh al aviyo. V'habal roitze b'davka she'teach ima le'ezeh mishteh she'aso le'ezeh tzarech le'tevis basic nesses. The shul dinner. The husband doesn't want to go alone to the shul dinner. It's awkward, whatever. He doesn't want to go alone. He wants his wife to come with him. I'm assuming.
Yeah. Right. MJ did not have separate seating, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
There you go. So that might have been the game. So he says over here, the husband wants his wife to come with him because he doesn't want to be alone. The wife says, well, I'm Yud Beis Chodesh. I'm not allowed to go to these events, right? So it says, Rav Moshe, what was the shayl? He can't go by himself. Why? It doesn't look right. You go by yourself. That's a rumor start. Oh, he came out. That's why. I guess they don't know enough about her personal life. But again, the way the guy sent the shayla to Moshe, it was it would present shalom bias. Not because the guy's tamazay is awkward to be alone. He can't make conversation. Yes, all the time. All meisim bechol. So again, Moshe was the shayla was adding. That would be a shayla of shalom bayis, not just because the husband will be awkward to sit himself at the table, or because I know couples that the husband makes the wife come with him to pay shiva calls because he can't make conversation, so the wife has to come to make conversation. Right? Okay, you know, whatever conversation you're allowed to have.
So the point is,
what's the shayla? So let's work this out together before we see. What would you say to yourself? What's the question? She has why is she not going to simchus? Because kibud of her parents lachar moisa. But here it's coming in conflict with honoring her husband. So which one wins? So this is clearly kibbut. This is definitely covet. So which one, right? Not going to a chasana after a parent dies is covet. It's not yiru.
No.
So again, we're assuming right now that we're mixing the two. Just assume we are mixing the two. I don't think so.
So if you never had permission
to sit in your chair, right? I don't remember. I think so. We'll have to get to it.
That would be a case.
Yeah. So let's see. Zokta Ramosha. Dr. Ramosha, this whole not going to a simcha during Yom Chodesh is covered. ha'isha ein muchiyevis and muneged v'tzarech habayla. But a lady doesn't have to do covet of her father if it's against covet for her husband. Kimeforish b'kedushin af lamid af b'chayav, even when the father's alive. But nifsa came b'shocherach. Let's say the father would say he wants his daughter to come with him to an event, and the husband says, "Well, I want my wife to come with me to the event." Who wins that one? So that we all agree about that the wife would go with the husband. So it says
after your days as opposed to shiva or shlosha, that would be no shaila. She wouldn't have to do because it's such a.
It's any time where it's coming from kibbutz. Anything that creates kibbutz. Now again, there's certain events she can't go. I'm saying she can't go because she has to show honor to her parents. That's why she's not allowed to go. Moshe says that comes from kibbutz. He assumes the reason why an oval can't partake in simchas is out covered for the mace. That's what he says over here. So he points out. That's what people say. People say, I know people that do that. They say that their father wanted them to go to Simchas after he died, and they have to go to Simchas. I know people who do that. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I don't know. But I know people that do that. They say that the whole reason why they don't go to Simchas after Misa of their parents is because COVID. They know their father wants them to go to Chassid, and they go to Chassid. Okay? Mm-hmm. Not only with the Hilchos here, but interesting such an idea. So he writes like this. Rabbi Wasserman Zatzal from the Rav of Young Israel in Pesach.
Right.
He's a mishpacha of mine, to my wife's side. So he left the tzava. He told all his kids, no, he wants them all to go to Simchas after. He doesn't want them not going to Simchas because of him. Okay, I don't know what they do or not. I don't know. He's arguing that the whole reason why the Chazal said you can't go to Simcha is for my honor. I'm for going, man. Yeah, so he's a cousin of mine through my wife's side. So he wrote this. That's what he's arguing. His argument is his argument. Most of us would assume there's certain things you can't be moichel on, meaning they're not up for you to decide. There is such a thing, right? You can't be moichel everything. Well, again, these are things we'll get to believe another as we continue on in this parrot. So he writes this. Sagur Moshe, the nifsa came b'shulchan aruch yardesim erish sif yudzayin. Now again, according to Moshe. Yeah, this is the way we paskin, so we don't get we assume women are part of kibbutz also, not just here. Now we'll have to figure out why. But at the end of the day, halach l'maisa, if a girl tells her husband, you know, I want to go bring my parents up or take my father to the doctor, and the husband says, no, I need you home, she doesn't go to her parents. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not telling you what ends up happening. I'm telling you what the halacha says. All right, the ficha chiptura, that's what we paskin. Halach l'maisa, the husband says, no, I need you home, or then the halach l'maisa of it is she doesn't go to her parents. Now, says Rav Moshe, if that's true, so he says over here, Ulai Av, then I hear the question. When the Shach said the husband could be Moshe, Ein Baila Makbil Chayev B'chodav Shefshik Mayush. What does that mean? The husband can have any crazy hakpod he wants under the sun? Or there's certain shibudim that a wife has vis-a-vis to her husband. Let's say the wife says, I'm not making supper tonight because I want to take my parents to the doctor. So you got to make supper. That's one of the, assuming that's a shibud that a wife has to do, right? The wife says, I'm moving out of the house for 3 weeks to be with my parents. No, you're supposed to be here with me. That we'll talk more about in Taisvis. It's such a concept that a woman's supposed to live in the house with her husband. She has other shibudim to her husband. So those shibudim she can't push away for her father. But Zot Yom Yishe, where's it saying in the Ksuba that I got to go with my husband to events? Tell him to find someone else, right? Right. Let's say it'd be a basketball game. Let's say the husband says, I want my wife to come with me to the basketball game. Now the wife has to do everything to go to the basketball game. Zot Yom Yishe, yes. That's what the Shach means. The Shach means lav daf only, not only those things that are chiyuvim, alpi ksuba, and alpi psak bezdin, those things that the husband asks and normally a wife requests, those things also beat out honoring her father. So there was Dr. Moshe. So he says, "Va'el shirotz shetatz ivu reidav avshein adav nochutz sheishik sheir akoponim tzvichalasis mitzayne." A good wife tries to do whatever her husband asks of her. Nami ptura mikibrav, Dr. Moshe. That would also exempt her from honoring her parents. Avshein mishubedes mamish lezeh. Even though this is not really one of the chiyuvim in the ksuba, doesn't say anywhere in the ksuba the wife has to come with you to all the football games. But Dr. Moshe, but if the wife, the husband asks, and he asks nicely, and he requests his wife to come, we'll actually talk about that in the Rambam on the next page. But Dr. Moshe, it's assumed that the wife tries to make the husband happy, do what he wants. So Dr. Moshe, that will even beat out her mitzvah of kibbutz avei. The wife asks the husband.
He comes with the dinner.
I said, the husband's probably going to have a stronger chiyuv. The Torah never exempted husbands from the mitzvah of kibbutz avei. Here, the Torah exempted married women for this. So, Dr. Moshe, for this reason, because wives have dual responsibilities, and sometimes they can't be in two places at once, so something has to give. So the Torah decided, I don't know why, I talked to Hashem about this one. We have a whole list of things we have to ask him about, okay? But why the Torah decided to exempt them, I don't know, but the Torah decided to exempt them.
So according to the Shulchan Aruch, how do you ever have a woman keeping the year? If she's married,
Right. So if the husband never asks, if the husband never,
no, but he's saying it's not tolerant. It depends on Moffat or not Moffat.
No. So if the husband doesn't, if the husband doesn't care, he has no interest in his wife. It's equal for him. His wife, they're not there. So then it's not that he's not. Right. And Echrami. This Ramosha is very interesting. According to this Ramosha, if a husband knows this, he's got some, he's armed and dangerous now. He knows the truth from Ramosha. And he tells his wife during her year for her parents, listen, I don't go anywhere by myself. It has to be true also. It can't just be stamaze, you know, like, it has to be you really feel.
But the Shulchan are saying even if he's not mocked, that's the way we're learning.
That's what Ramosha is going with the Shach. Ramosha is going according to the Shach. If you accept. Again, if the husband's not asking, and it still has to come out of the...
It has to be a cop.
I mean, you say if you hold, like, okay, good. Meaning if you learn the mechaber, like we're learning the Ritva, that the Torah mam is exempted women for kibbut of Eims, and Echrami, then what comes out of the Takapot, right? They have no mitzvah of kibbut, bein mechayev, bein lachamois. Come out a very strange thing.
That's not
halacha, right? The Shach seems to be the more accepted halacha, that only when there's no conflict. So says Rav Moshe. We'll get to it. We'll see. There's a Rambam that we have to get to still. This is only assuming the husband's making trouble. The husband's not making trouble. Says Rav Moshe. Zok Rav Moshe. V'chei mashma mishach. This is the best part. Says Rav Moshe. V'chei mashma mishach shom sevkot yitest. The kasav. Din ein baila makbid. The husband doesn't care. Chayev is b'chodav v'shef shekmai bish. Zokti Moshe, im haptur shala hu daf bezman she oisa labayla, dvarm she mishubedes lasis lo. Zokti Moshe, gavada gedig in the shach. Says Rav Moshe, why didn't the shach say better? It's not whether or not the husband's conflicting or not. It's only those things that the husband has a right, al pi halacha, to demand of his wife. The shach didn't say that. The shach should have said that the only time she's potter, if it's those things that the husband, al pi halacha, has the right to ask his wife. Make me supper, clean the house, take care of the kids, whatever those should move them off. But the Shach didn't say that. The Shach left it open ended, says Rav Moshe. Therefore, Rav Moshe is medayik. Why did the Shach say simple? That if the husband gives up on his shibud, whatever he has rights to demand of his wife, then the wife becomes back to being chai. Shach didn't say that. But loy beloshim ene mak. Ulechei mash makza zot Rav Moshe. It seems like from this Shach, the ptura b'chok peydes habal shetasalot. No. Anything the husband wants done, af. Okay, Moshe, we see from the Shach that anything that a husband asks of his wife, that might not be chayav al pi ksuba or al pi klole psak bezdin that the wife has to do for her husband, she should listen to her husband even though it goes against her parents.
So is he saying that's only when the husband objects?
Yes. But the husband...
The chayav is still there on... Right.
The Shach holds the chiv is there until the husband gives some issue. The question is, what's the husband's issue? The husband says, I don't want you to go bring your parents supper because you're supposed to be here giving me supper.
Right, but they're not chayav, they're not pukter.
Correct. The Shach is not like the Mechab. Mechab was a blanket tour no matter what. The Shach says, no, you're only pukter as long as there's no pushback. The question is, what constitutes a pushback? So the wife wants to take her parents to the doctor. The husband says, no, I want you to be home because I want to watch the football game. So the wife says, where is it saying the ksuba? I have to watch the football game with you. So she might be right. Don't say anything. She has to watch it. But Ramosha is saying, no, it's not the pshat. Anytime the husband has a legitimate, because maybe it's not legitimate.
So it's legit,
right? Anything that's a normal thing. Obviously, if the husband, I guess, if he'd ask her something which is abnormal, things that spouses go places together. No, again, the case is the spouses go with each other places. That's pretty normal. So Ramosha assumes that's included in what the shach meant that the husband, the wife would have to do. So therefore, says Rav Moshe, honoring your parents after they die is no better than when they're alive. In this case, he's embarrassed to go by himself. So now Rav Moshe is right at the end of the tshuva, couldn't fit it on the page. He says, the only reason why Rav Moshe says, this is a very big chiddush, what I'm saying. But the only reason why I'm being makel is because there's also an element of shalom bias. It sounds like there'll be no element of shalom bias. Ramosha wouldn't be so quick to say this. But Ramosha acknowledges that when he's saying a chiddush in the shach, he's saying that it's not just the things that the wife is meshubah to the husband. It's anything that the husband asks of him, which is a somewhat understandable, legitimate request.
Has to go with him?
Yes.
Where's the shalom bias?
Because he doesn't want to go by himself.
She
doesn't want to go because she thinks it's not right for her father. You have to explain to her. You got to tell the whole sugya. Explain to her. Listen, you're a chiyut to honor your father. By the time you're done, she's like, I don't want to go with you anyway. So you're trying to drake him. But that's the way you have to explain it, according to Rav Moshe. Okay. Now let's get to today's share that we're supposed to get to. This was last week. We were supposed to finish this last week. There's another way to learn Rashi. I found this in the Sefer Teresh, Shmuel Contemporary. He wants to kind of back to our Rashi. Why according to Rashi, can't women be in the midst of Yira slash Kavod? What's the problem? So Rashi said this words of Moiche, some form of a Macho, the husband can protest. So Reb Steinman learned protest means the husband has the right to say, you can't leave this door. You can't leave this house. Right? He can protest. I don't let you leave the house and you have to listen to me. That's Reb Steinman. He wants to tell him like this. Number one, he says, he quotes a Rashi later on. This Gemara appears a little bit later on in Daf Lamed. Hey, the Gemara also says the same line. Sipik biadalas is pirish, shein emas achei malach. The reason why a man has much more freedom for covet slash yira, or yira slash covet, is because he has no one else, a masachemov. He has no one else's fear on him. He doesn't have to answer to anyone. That's what Rashi says over there. So he wants to tie in the Yeshla Hoysif. The Eina Kavonim Shemdu Gavra Olim. It's not because he's strong. Then he can physically stop her. Which is the way Reb Steinman looked Rashi. Reb Steinman looked Rashi. Not that he can beat her and tackle her. When she's on the way out of the door, he tackled his wife when she's trying to leave to go visit her parents. The Pshad is he could say to his wife, no, I want you home. I don't let you go. I prohibit you. Again, not good for Shalom Bayis, but the husband says, well, I don't let you. I want you to stay home. So according to Reb Steinman, mid-a-raisa, she has to listen. So this, he wants to tell her, no. The Pshad is that women like to do what their husbands want. They like to do things that their husbands consent to. That's what Rashi means. First of all, it doesn't fit into the lashon of Rashi. Moicha means you're outwardly protesting. You're saying no. According to him, the chat is that women like just the way they are. They're raised to try to be, you know, placators. They like to make people happy. So they just want to do whatever her husband wants. So she doesn't want to be in conflict with her husband. And he says, Ayin Rambam Periktoz Mechazishas. That's a typo. It's not Periktoz Mechazishas. So what Rambam is referring to, the Rambam is the number two in Mechazishas. I don't think it's Periktoz off, but this is the Rambam. The Rambam is like this. We'll read Perik Halacha Chav, then we'll go back to your test. So to Rambam. V'chein tzivoy. There's a tzivoy. Alo isha on a lady, shetei mechabedes as bailo b'yoyse midai. She should honor her husband more than regular. V'aleho moira mimenu. She should have fear from him. V'tasekol maser alpif. And everything she does should be based on his wants. That's what he's referring to. But the Rambam sounds like the mindset of a woman is everything she does, she wants to make sure it's in line with her husband. So he wants to say that's what Rashi means. And when the husband says, I don't want you going to visit your parents, she just doesn't want to do things that are against what her husband wants. Then he writes, V'yeh beheinel, this is the best part. V'yeh beheinel, you should be in her eyes, k'maysar, a melech. Ma'alechet v'tavas libe mechekes komashi yist. Wow, okay. Now look at the Rambam and halacha yitas. V'chein tzivu chachom, she odem mechabres ishto yaisem migufay. It goes both ways, Rabbi said. You got to honor your wife more than yourself, though. I have a begufa and you have to love her like your body. If you got money, you got to give it to her. You shouldn't put too much fear on her. You should talk to her. You can't get angry. You can't get snappy with your wife. So, but these are all the Rabbanans. This Rabbanan. I didn't want to just bring a chav. That's the answer they say. It goes both ways. But to say that Rashi meant this Rabbam is a pella to me, because this is only Dindar Rabbanan. Rashi's going in the Torah. The Torah says the word ish. Ish means the Torah is telling us women can't do moir. Why? Because women like to listen to their husbands. It's a very nice idea. It's very beautiful. But that's not what the Torah says. We try to explain the Torah. Reb Steinman's pshat, I thought, was much more geschmack. And according to Reb Steinman, the Torah teaches me a chiddush that a lady needs to listen to her husband no matter what he says. So that's the Torah talking. Midaraisa. He's scratching me, this Rambam is talking about tzivu chachamim. So I don't understand exactly how he tries to say that Rashi means like that. I think Rashi means like Reb Steinman told us. Now, just very quickly, we were very bothered. What's the chiddush of Niskashish name, Shalom? Why would I think if she gets divorced, now she's not equal to her brother in the mitzvahs to her parents? So look in the Parashas Yosef. It's a very cute pshat. He says, nearly, number three, the kamash mulon, the loitema, don't say, kivan de koidim shenis garsha, hoyimuta kol achiv ala ben. This girl got married. When she got married, she waved to her brother and said, sorry, they're your problem now. I'm done with the parents. I'm married now. You take care of the parents. Im kein kishin is garsha, muta kol achiv aleha. So maybe now when she gets divorced, now she gets back into the parasha, maybe she takes over all of the obligation and gives her brother a break. Now, this is a very nice chat in the world, but this does not the way the Torah works. The Torah doesn't work like a balancing act. Well, you had it longer, so now I take over for you, and I have more. That's not the way the Torah usually works. But he learns that's the Havim. The Havim was, since when she was married, she was completely exempt. Her brother took on 100% of the responsibility. Now when she becomes available to do the mitzvah, she takes on 100% and her brother gets a vacation. That's the Havamin.
What strange. Where else do we find in Halacha where two positive commandments are in conflict with each other? What do you do?
Well, yeah, we have Aseh D'Chaloysa say. Aseh D'Chaloysa say. We talked about that with Saras and Mila, right? All those things. Pekuach Nefesh. Or two positive mitzvahs.
This is a mitzvah to listen to your husband.
Right.
Midaraisa. Right. They're in conflict with each other. Why are we just assuming, or whoever?
The Gemara told us. The Gemara told us.
No, I was on Mira, not on people.
No, again, we're going to assume, we're going to use them synonymously, even though we have to see how we get there. And I made that assumption a while ago. We're using them together. The question is why. But this person is a very cute shot, but it's just not, it's not the way the Torah works. More than that, I don't think it's Meduik and Rashi, because what did Rashi say? That after she gets divorced, she's like her brother. Right. According to this, we're not focusing on her. We're focusing on the brother. The point is that the brother now gets exempt, not that she. So this whole pshat is very cute, but I don't think it's pashat pshat. About. We'll see the next week. I'm halach from Rav Moshe in the Dibros Moshe. Rav Moshe is a very nice mahalach. Also to try to explain what the Havamin is, and then we'll try to see how this all works out with Kibbutz versus Yira. It's going to get only more complicated going forward. Okay.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Oh.
Thank you.
When are you leaving, Jake? Today? Well, have a wonderful, have a safe trip. Safe. Well, going back home.